Hi, I'm Reet Singh, and welcome to the Trip Outside podcast. On this show, I interview local guides and outdoor industry experts to uncover the best outdoor travel spots and epic outdoor activities. Before we jump in, I have a quick favor to ask you. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a comment and let us know what you liked or what you'd like to hear next. Our goal is to help answer all of your outdoor adventure travel questions. I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome everyone to the Trip Outside podcast. Today I'm speaking with JC from Arizona Climbing Guides. JC, thank you for joining me today. Where does the podcast find you?
Hey, good to be here. I'm sitting in my living room on a nice hot winter day in Tucson.
Oh, that's the beauty of Tucson. It's a hot winter day in one sentence.
Oh yeah, 70 degrees down here.
Oh, that's amazing. So for those that are joining us on the podcast, we had the amazing opportunity to join JC and his team, Ben, on a canyoneering trip down in Tucson, the Tonka Verde Canyoneering Tour. It was absolutely amazing. Arizona Climbing Guides has decades of experience in rock climbing and canyoneering in Arizona and all over the Southwest. They're based in Tucson, and they also offer climbing, canyoneering, trekking tours, and Arizona, Colorado, and Utah. So when we had the opportunity to meet with JC, the more we asked, the more we kept learning about their amazing experience. So we're super stoked to have you on the show. JC, to get into it, what inspired you to get started in the outdoors? How was your intro into getting into the outdoors yourself personally? And then how did you get into running an outdoor business in guiding?
Yeah, well, to try to make a long story a little bit shorter, I grew up pretty rural and spent a lot of my time outside as a kid. And I had a dad who was really into the mountains. He did kind of general mountaineering stuff and a lot of hiking. He was always trying to expose me to things when I was a little kid. I didn't really know that that was a part of me that was going to become the larger bulk of who I was until I left Colorado, where I grew up, and I went to Boston and went to music school. I thought I was going to be a studio musician, and living in the big city really started to make me realize that I needed to have big open spaces around me, and that was a part of me that was overwhelming. I couldn't deny it. So I went into that field slowly but surely. I got out of college. I taught a year of high school and used that as a jumping off point and did 2 years of wilderness therapy working with prison kids. And then went from there and started trying to get farther and farther into the climbing end of things, eventually working my way through the American Mountain Guide Association certification program, getting my full rock guide cert, and I've guided everything along the way to here, from trekking, ice climbing. I've done mountain expedition stuff in Alaska. And I find myself here now running this company. I thought when I first got down here that I was maybe going to just be a lone wolf and maybe have a body double, but it morphed into something now where I have six guides working for me and kind of a flourishing guide company down here, which is
that's
awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And how long were you guiding and running trips and, you know, leading people outdoors for, since college till I think 2018 is when you took over Arizona Climbing Guides?
Well, let's see, it might have been around 2018. So my predecessor here was a guy named Mark Brontsema, who was a bit of a wild character. He ran a company called the Arizona Climbing and Adventure School. And so when I would come and go from Arizona, I would work for him. And he passed on, and the company went with him and kind of left a void that needed to be filled here. So that was one of the inspirations to get it up and running. But to answer your question a little bit more there, yeah, I started out working in a climbing gym. I worked for the Spot Bouldering Gym in Boulder, Colorado. They had a little climbing school that operated out of that. And I started out doing kids' birthday parties in the gym. and sleeping in my Nissan Pathfinder,
That
and
is amazing.
tried to just work my way up the ladder and until I was trustworthy enough to be taking adult clients out for fun outside and on the real rock. So that must have been all the way back around like 2005.
Wow. Wow, you've been guiding people for a very long time. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely took over my life.
Yeah. And you're so good at it, your team is so good at it, that I'm not surprised that all of a sudden you find yourself with six guides and being super busy and getting people outside. Is it's your team, your personality, and tours that you offer are really great. So I have a question around your transition from Colorado to Arizona. And a lot of people think of Colorado, they think about Idaho and, you know, big Wild West. But, you know, personally, every time I visit Arizona, I'm always surprised about how rugged and intense the mountains are. But I'm interested in your perspective when you moved to Arizona. How was that transition for you? And what do you find interesting and unique about the outdoors in Arizona and around Tucson and Phoenix?
Yeah. So I've lived at this point in every one of the four corner states. So New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, and Arizona. And, you know, they all have something cool about them. But I think Arizona is kind of the black sheep of the four corners. And that's kind of starting to change. But, you know, a lot of people, when they hear the name Arizona, they think of this iconic image of like a saguaro cactus in a barren wasteland with a cow skull and a tumbleweed going by kind of thing. And like you were saying, Arizona is actually extremely rugged mountain meets the desert landscape. You've got up in the north, the Colorado plateaus terminating in what they call the Mogollon Rim and dropping off into the lowland desert. And it's got the most extensive ponderosa pine forest that's in the United States on that plateau there. And of course, the Grand Canyon, which everybody knows the Grand Canyon. It speaks for itself. But yeah, as you go south, the mountains keep going and they go all the way into Mexico. And they're really unexplored. And I think that's the thing that's really captivated me personally about Arizona and its wilderness is that it's extensive. There's a lot of untapped treasures out here. There's mountain ranges down here in southern Arizona that don't have a road going through them and have very little in the way of trails going through them. And they're teeming with wildlife. They're islands of life, literally. And so that's really something that has drawn me in here. And I think will keep me around for the years to come.
Yeah, we were personally just so surprised every time. I mean, the first time we explored Tucson, we saw Mount Lemmon and the long, you know, tall, rugged mountains over, you know, over the city and how beautiful the sunsets are. And we just, as we kept exploring, it just kept expanding more and more and more. And you just start realizing it's never ending in terms of the outdoor adventures you can keep exploring. Like you were saying, like there's so many places that are still even unexplored. And as from your exploration, it seems like, you know, you have the skills to be able to go to these wild places and like find your way into canyons, out of canyons, do things, and then eventually allow other people to come explore them with you and give them a level of confidence to do it safely. And that's really great that you're bringing that outdoors and human powered outdoor perspective to Arizona, where it's, yeah, like you said, typically thought of a desert and maybe ATVing and things that you don't associate with like hiking and canyoneering and all those things that people flock to to Sedona or Moab or maybe Colorado. So I just absolutely love the work that you're doing down there. And it would be great to share some of the rock climbing trips and what are the different trips that you offer? And within each of those categories, rock climbing, canyoneering, and trekking, what are some of the trips that you guys offer that people can join on?
Yeah, well, maybe I should start with what's farthest to the south. So farthest to the south, we have Cochise Stronghold, which is quickly becoming known as a rock climbing mecca in the winter. It's really extensive cluster of rock domes. It's granite. It encompasses most of this range called the Dragoon Mountains. It has a lot of lore around it. The Apache have a really long history in the place. It supposedly was the last holdout of their chief, Cochise. And he supposedly never surrendered and stayed in those mountains. So the place has a pretty interesting feel to it. Great multi-pitch climbs, these beautiful domes that have green lichen all over them, and really nice moderate climbs and some pretty exciting, adventurous, harder lines as well. So there's that, and then some good hiking out there also. So if you go a little bit farther to the north, then you've got Tucson, of course. And like you were mentioning, Tucson offers quite a bit. That's where we do our canyoneering tours. We offer one half-day tour that's called Tonka Verde Canyon. It's a nice loop hike, essentially, that has three rappels going through it, the tallest of which is 90 feet tall. And it ends up being probably about a 2.5, 2.7 mile hike to get through that place. Really interesting scramble along the way. You're moving through some really colorful, interesting rock. So that's a nice canyon. If you don't have a whole lot of time, or if you're not sure you have the energy for a bigger endeavor, it takes people from 3 to 5 hours to complete that one. And then if you go a little bit more to the north, up onto Mount Lemmon, there's the canyon everyone's referring to now as Seven Cataracts. It's also known as Willow Canyon. And that's what we run as a full day canyon. It's a little bit more strenuous. There's a little bit more of an elevation loss that happens through there. I think you probably end up losing about 1,500 feet in elevation. And you have to gain about 500 feet to get back up to your car after you finish the canyon. Some pretty rugged boulder hopping, and there's five rappels in that canyon, the tallest of which is 200 feet, and really good scenery, and that really packs into a day very well. Some people are able to finish the canyon within 5 hours, but it's taken as long as 8 or 9 hours to complete it.
Okay, depending on the size of the group and how fast people are moving through.
Yeah.
Got it.
Both of those canyons are good for beginners in canyoneering. Really, the prerequisite is that you have pretty good hiking stamina and you're used to walking on uneven ground. So that's our canyoneering trips. Mount Lemmon is known as a rock climbing mecca. Also, it's got rock climbing from the lowlands down at 2,000 feet elevation at the bottom of the mountain, going all the way up to the summit at 9,000 feet. So there's actually year-round climbing, although the best time of year to be here is like right around now, like fall through spring. So you've got everything you want around Mount Lemmon as far as rock climbing goes, from easy sport climbing to some adventurous trad. There's a 10-pitch sport route on the mountain and some really fun multi-pitch trad lines too.
So there's a little bit of for all skill levels. From you can get beginners out, I think, on around Mount Lemmon, and you've got something that even the advanced climbers will find themselves challenged on.
Yeah, absolutely. Great place to start your climbing journey, and it's a great place if you're a pro athlete on vacation.
Awesome. So if you're Do you need to be familiar with rock climbing at all for some of these rock climbing trips that you offer near Tucson? Or what's the level of experience somebody needs to be able to come out and do this?
You really don't need any experience at all to have a rock climbing experience. They go from about the easiest entry-level rock climbs like on Mount Lemmon that you can get. So really beginner-friendly. I would say, you know, a lot of people are a little afraid to try rock climbing for the first time because they're afraid of the physical strenuous nature of it. But I would say that it's easier than learning how to mountain bike or learning how to ski. and it's a lot less likely that you're going to incur some sort of small injury too. That seems pretty contradictory from a lot of the stuff that you see out there, but it really is the case. It's a very controlled experience your first time out. That's not to say that it's not super exciting.
Yeah, I believe you. I think with especially, a guided trip going out and having someone take you to the right place, adjust according to, your needs and get you comfortable with the gear, having all the safety stuff, that's so big, because I think the fear with rock climbing a lot of times is like, what if this equipment doesn't work or I don't know how to use the equipment? I think that's where, when you have that all taken care of professionally and knowing that you're in good hands, I think you're basically reducing your risk and you can at the same time increase your fun level, right? Because all that's taken care of and you can focus on enjoying the adventure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I really want to cultivate here and with this business that I'm running, is bringing the experience that people get in really well-known places like Jackson Hole or Rocky Mountain National Park, when they sign up with a company up there and they know that they're getting like a certified mountain guide to give them their first experience, someone who really knows what they're doing. So, I really do value the people that work for me having a lot of experience in that they do this themselves passionately, and passionately enough that they're willing to throw some finance behind it and get educated and get certified by the American Mountain Guide Association.
Yeah, I found that really incredible to learn from Ben how expensive some of these courses are, what the commitment is, and how many years it takes to, get through these levels. And yeah, how difficult it is. It's almost like being an MD doctor. You're in it for 4 years, you're in it for continuing education, and you still don't have all your certs. So I was really impressed and humbled by the amount of effort that you guys put in and how the physical, the time, and the financial investment to get these certifications to guide people outdoors responsibly. And I absolutely love that.
Great. Yeah, that's something I really value and want everybody to experience that comes on a trip with us.
So before we move on further north from Tucson, what I actually found really cool about Tucson is there's not a lot of cities where you can land in and do a morning canyoneering adventure, visit a national park in the afternoon, go do a hike, then hit a brewery, the same day, within like an hour of driving. It's just, I don't know, I literally don't know too many cities that you could do that in. And I think that's the underrated gem of Tucson that maybe doesn't get talked about or shared about as much.
Oh yeah.
I would just love to learn outdoor things, outdoor activities around Tucson that you like to do, that people like to do. So if they're, trying canyoneering and climbing one day, what are some other things around Tucson that you enjoy or people enjoy that you could share with us?
Yeah, well, I'm forever, I think, going to be a pretty mellow mountain biker, but this is the perfect place for somebody like me, because there's outstanding single track dirt riding in the lowland desert. So there's some really nice mountain biking around here. There's some really great mountain biking that's higher up on the mountain as well, although I haven't really messed around a whole lot with that myself. A lot of people go and they'll actually do a ride all the way down from the summit of Mount Lemmon on trails. Seems pretty intense in like a really big day, but you can go from 9,000 feet all the way down to 2,000 feet in a day mountain biking. So that's an awesome aspect of being out here. And another one too is how close you are to some really rugged wilderness. One thing that I've done a few times is just pack my backpack up for a multi-day trip, call up a Lyft and get a ride over to the base of the Rincon Mountains in Saguaro National Park, and then take off for 3 days on a backpacking trip. And when I get out, I call a Lyft and have them pick me up at the trailhead. Like you were saying, I don't really know too many places that have that kind of access really close to an urban center, maybe other than Boulder, Colorado. And even with Boulder, Colorado, I'm not sure if you have that sort of ability to like go on a backpacking trip right outside of the city.
Totally. Yeah, I don't know if you could take a Uber from Boulder to Rocky Mountain National Park, go on a 3-day trip, and then have it, bring you right back. Yeah, I think it's a really special about fact about Tucson, and I'd love that. I love being able to, take away the shuttle, take away the packing, the trailhead, like just go right from the city, go for right from your house. That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. And then I know you guys guide further north into Phoenix, and if you can cover a bit about those rock climbing trips, if somebody's visiting Phoenix, and then I think Gunnison, Black Canyon of the Gunnison. Is there anything else that I'm missing?
No, that pretty much covers it. So north of Tucson, you have the Phoenix metro area, which encompasses a pretty large area. We have two places where we take people rock climbing out there. The one that's farther to the south is called Queen Creek Canyon. And then more to the north, we have the McDowell Mountain Preserve. So Queen Creek Canyon is a really awesome place. It's really strange volcanic rock. It has these weird gas pockets that make handholds in the rock. It's like it was sculpted to be climbed. And it's formed all these interesting pinnacles and fins of rock. And that is a well-loved sport climbing area. There are some trad climbs out there too, but I would say that's the really big draw out there is sport climbing. And there's a lot of climbing out there. There's a little bit of controversy in that area with mining and the climbing community kind of is at odds with the interests of mining a bit, but it still remains a place where people will flock to in the colder months from all over the country to get in some sport climbing. And then the McDowell Mountain Preserve, it's really close to Scottsdale, Arizona. The McDowell Mountain Preserve is a place where you could take like an Uber or a Lyft and meet your guide at the trailhead. With the ease of access, though, it's surprising because it's not a sport climbing crag really. It's kind of an adventurous setting. That's not to say that it's not beginner friendly. It is, but it's quite a bit different than Queen Creek. It's a lot of granite domes, and there's a good amount of hiking involved to get from one place to the other, but a high level of reward and a great place to just have a cool adventure really close to the city.
Awesome. And finally, there's the Grand Canyon of the Gunnison. Is that run just in the summer then?
So the Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park in western Colorado, it's referred to by some as Evil Yosemite. And I think that's because it's just this hole in the ground that's 2,000 feet deep. It has a feeling of high commitment to it, but it has some unbelievably classic routes down there. And that is a place that we offer trips in the spring, starting around the end of April, and then through the summer, and then into the fall until about the end of October. That's a place that is great if you have some climbing under your belt. You kind of know what you like and you're looking for an adventure. You want us or someone to show you around an exciting alien world, and that would definitely be the Black Canyon.
Awesome. Thank you. And I think I may have said Grand Canyon of the Gunnison, so thank you for correcting me. I would love to pick your brain on just understanding rock climbing. What are the different types? What are the different styles? How can someone get started with rock climbing outdoors? And, if somebody's been interested in rock climbing, if you could walk us through sort of a quick version of the different types and the sort of beginner's guide to how to get started with it.
Well, rock climbing is a pretty diverse sport. You really have like three main categories that you could venture into. And a lot of people combine facets of all of them to really try to be well-rounded. And other people will just stay in one avenue of rock climbing, and that's where they want to be. So you have bouldering, you have sport climbing and then you have trad climbing. Bouldering, you don't use a rope. You're utilizing these portable thick pads to cushion your fall. You're not climbing super high off the ground, and you have your friends there to spot you and make sure that you're landing properly. And this is a sport that's really taken off in the last decade or so and grown a lot in popularity. People are able to push their grade a little bit harder and try more gymnastic movement because you're not really so concerned about the consequences. It doesn't feel like you're embarking on some huge voyage or a big adventure. You're just biting off a little piece of the whale, you could say. So that's actually a great place for people to start. I wouldn't shy anyone away from trying bouldering. You can try super easy climbing in the bouldering venue and really simplify the whole thing, cut out all the rope management stuff, and just focus on the physicality of it and how you move around and just try to get comfortable with how you interact with the rock. And then your kit is also a lot cheaper if that's where you enter the sport. So, you really just need a pair of shoes and a chalk bag. And a lot of climbing gyms these days, you can rent crash pads from. And then you got sport climbing, which would be kind of the next step up as far as your level of excitement and getting farther off the ground. So, sport climbing, you're clipping, you're using a rope, but you're clipping pre-placed bolts that have been installed into the rock as your protection points. And you're climbing these routes, basically linking what you learned from bouldering together to take it higher off the ground. And your level of consequence, if you're the one who's establishing the route, a little bit higher, but not a whole lot actually climbing with a rope. If you're learning everything properly, it has less consequence than bouldering when it comes to like twisting ankles, stuff like that. But obviously, there's more that you need to learn there. But the real beauty there is that you can do what's called top roping. So if you have somebody who's pretty experienced, who can get the rope installed for you at the top of the cliff, great way to just rehearse and start getting the feel for what it's like to climb higher off the ground. If the rope is already set for you at the top of the cliff with a reliable anchor, there's very little consequence. It's a lot like what you're going to experience in a climbing gym. So if you slip, the rope's going to catch you immediately and you're just going to hang in place and you can basically start right from where you slipped off the rock. So a lot of people come into the sport somewhere between bouldering and top roping. And then you have trad climbing, which is basically taking what you know from climbing and taking it to the adventure zone. You're taking your skills and you're going into more remote areas, but not always. Some of these places, like Queen Creek, you'll have a crack right next to a bolted sport climb. And really that's at the heart of what trad climbing is you're placing equipment in the cracks to secure yourself. And all of that equipment is removable, which allows you to go up some really huge walls and take your kit with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing preset in trad climbing necessarily. You're setting your own route as you go.
Yep.
Perfect. This was super educational for me. And I've only done indoor rock climbing and I've always been interested and curious being into getting outdoors. And this was super helpful for me to understand, okay, I can just do sport climbing and start with top roping and reduce my risk, reduce my, I would say, maybe fear of the unknown and get started that way.
Yeah, a lot of people who come to us, they'll come and have a 4-hour experience with us just to see if it's something they want to take further. And then if it's something they want to take further, they may take something like a full day anchor building course, which is something that can really put somebody on track to being able to set up their own top rope anchors and start being able to get out there themselves.
Awesome. And I would assume most of the climbing gyms teach some sort of courses to go through the process of learning all the knots and belaying and all those things that you need. And those translate into the outdoors as well, similarly?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So you are doing top rope climbing when you start climbing in an indoor facility that has ropes. And everything that you learn in a gym, it's going to be directly applicable to what you do outside. The same way you tie in and how you secure your partner and give them what's called a belay, which is you're making sure that you're arresting their fall on the rope, learning how to work as a group of two to complete the climbing. So you can learn almost everything you need to learn in the climbing gym, or at least build a really good foundation. And then really you would have to go outside though, to really start to put together the anchor building stuff.
Got it. Well, thank you so much. I love being able to talk to outdoor experts and sport experts and really just learn. This is my favorite part of doing the podcast, and I hope everyone gets a lot out of it. I wanted to leave you with one question about, you know, what do you get from being outdoors? Why do you love being outdoors? I know you filled out a bit of the information around being a spiritual connection, but I was wondering if you can expand a bit more about what keeps you in the business and keeps you doing what you're doing.
I think it's probably something like what people experience if they go sailing in the open ocean, that sense of adventure and feeling like you've equipped yourself as well as you can, but you don't know exactly what's going to happen ahead of you, is an awesome feeling to me. And I think that that's making yourself vulnerable makes you really feel like you're a part of this natural world. You feel your place in it, and it brings you really close to nature.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you nailed it with being vulnerable, and like you can plan all day, but things are going to change and you just have to adapt, and really forces you to be present, to be able to, you know, be aware of what's happening around you. And I love that about the outdoors. It's a great teacher for me as well. JC, thank you so much for joining me today. Where can people find you outside of Trip Outside and Arizona Climbing Guides?
Yeah, thanks. Our website is climbingguidesarizona.com. And we're operating now all over the state of Arizona, from Prescott and Sedona all the way down here to Tucson. So look us up online, climbingguidesarizona.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for joining another episode of the Trip Outside podcast. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. And thanks again, JC, for joining me today.
Thanks, Reed. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Trip Outside podcast. If you enjoyed the conversation, let us know in the comments on Apple Podcasts. Share it with your friends and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, if you felt inspired to travel, you can support the show by booking your next trip on tripoutside.com, the easiest way to book human-powered outdoor adventures.